Father God, we thank you this morning for the cross of Calvary. We thank you that our God is greater and stronger and mightier and more powerful than anything in this world. Lord, your word says there's nothing more powerful than your love. Nothing can separate us from that love. And Lord, our call this morning as we, Father, kind of turn the corner in our Gospel Revolution series. Lord, we turn our hearts understanding that our call now is to surrender. To wave that white flag over our lives and say, Lord Jesus, Lord, would you take our rebel heart that so often wanders far from you? And will we surrender to you, to your call, to your plans for our life? And Lord, for some this morning, maybe even just as simple as a shoebox. Lord, we need to surrender. Lord, maybe it's to the most important thing in our lives to surrender our lives to you as our Savior and as our Lord. God, would you speak to us this morning through the power of your word as we talk about extravagant generosity, and we start by seeing your extravagant generosity to us, your children. And Lord, we could never say thank you enough. Lord, our reply is simply to be generous back to you and to others in whom we come in contact with. God, speak to us, I pray now, by the power of your word. I yield my heart and my life to you, my lips to you, my brain to you, as ADD and crazy sometimes as it is. Lord, would you just, Father, give us those truths that we need this morning. God, speak to us this morning. Lord, I do pray for our team as they perhaps go to bed and get some rest tonight. God, you give them rest as it's 13 hours ahead of us. So God, just give them some rest tonight as they get ready to fly to the next leg and, Lord, making a difference. We're praying for those people that would hear the gospel of Christ in the coming days in our city of Sangal Sakadao. God, minister to them and use them in a powerful way, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Swap that out, see if that's going to work, hopefully. There it is. Great. All right, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Why, that sounds a lot different, doesn't it? I think I'll get the other one. I sound like a really deep in the other one, Jake. Can you make me sound bassy in this one? You can? All right, good. Very good. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we want to continue our series this morning, the Gospel Revolution. Some powerful words here, talking about the Gospel Revolution and extravagant generosity. We want to talk about. So far, we've used these A words, these words that have really helped us to wrap our minds around this story of what God is doing in and through our lives. That this is a revolution, something that is a little bit different maybe than what we've thought about or what we've encountered in our Christian life. And sometimes we get it backwards. We put the cart before the horse, so to speak. And so we miss what God really has for us. But this morning, we're going to begin to turn the corner here this morning. But let's just remind us those A words from the last couple of weeks. Do you remember those words? The word abide was our first week, abiding in Christ. The next time we talked about the fact that we are amazed. The more we abide in Christ, the more amazed we become at what? At the fact that we are accepted by God. That God has accepted us. God has invited us into his family. God has called us to be his children. And we just stop in amazement. The more we abide, the more amazed we become because we're accepted. And then we come to the next step we talked about, that we are approved by God. That we have God's approval. All that we'll ever need in Christ, we have already. And then the fact that God's affection has been turned towards us and lavished upon us and poured out upon us in such a way that our call is to give him our affection. And too often we talk about it, and I hope maybe this week you've been reading and seeing in your heart and your mind, taking that idolatry detector test. Wow, what an eye-opener. I shared with our folks Wednesday night, and I just had to tell it to you because I just want you to know, sometimes we think idols are like really bad things. We think of an idol as, oh my goodness, you know, drugs or something really awful in our mind we think of. But folks, sometimes idols can be something that's religious. So I just want to confess to you this morning, that's okay. Thank you for your permission. I appreciate that. I went home Sunday morning, and one of those days we've been struggling a little bit financially, not where we need to be. Our attendance, we talked about in August, September, we don't want to hit the October slump. Let's don't hit the October slump. We've been praying against the October slump, and praise God, we are in the October slump. Hallelujah. We've gone from 486 to last week, we had 270 in the building, 200 less people than just 2 months ago. And from a preacher's perspective, let me just tell you, that stinks. And my wife hates when that happens because I am hard to live with when it gets like that. I'll just tell you, because I want to see that little sucker always going that way. And sometimes that comes down that way. Sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, I get a cruddy attitude. So I went home, we had deacons meeting, I went home yesterday, Sunday afternoon, and Rebecca came here for the ladies thing, and attendance was not great, attendance was terrible Wednesday night, attendance not this great this morning, life groups. So it's hard sometimes from a preacher's perspective, but God spoke in my heart, I'm pushing, so I told Emma, we're going for a walk, I just need you to listen to me, it's why I talk a while. She said, okay, no problem. So I got her in a little pink car, and we took off like a rocket, and I was going to take a couple, maybe a lap or so, and I didn't even get down to the corner and turn, headed toward John and Nancy Noble's house, and God just went, I know what your false idol is, Brad. And I'm like, I wasn't really asking. I didn't really want to know. That's everybody else's problem. I don't have false gods, which I knew I do, and I wouldn't say it from that perspective, but God's like, your false god, sometimes your worship of me is determined on how church is going. I'm like, well, God, I didn't really want to hear that, just to be honest with you. That took me another 30 minutes. I had to go walk all around the neighborhood because I got so ticked off. I was mad. I'm like, I don't want to talk about that. I had a little pity party walking around Pecan Lakes in my little pink car. Emma's pink car, me pushing it. All she just said is, Daddy. That's all I got from her. She listened. Sometimes we need to be thinking about where our affections are. And our affections can get misplaced. Right? And we learn sometimes where we tend to major on something that's not major. We make it a god when it's never intended to be a god. And it becomes a terrible god. Because what do we know? All of our false gods will fail us at some point. So sometimes my false god could have been, watch this now. This sounds crazy. In the day we had 486, sometimes I can worship that instead of worshiping God. Are you with me? Am I making any sense at all? Okay, it's just a good confessional time for me. I'll send you all a bill later for my counseling session. I do appreciate it. Right? I just want you to know that I have false gods like you do. And some of mine are not so nice as that one, by the way. You're going, oh, well, preacher, we can't even relate to that. Well, I have other ones too, just like you do. I turn my affection. This morning we want to kind of turn the corner and talk about this idea, this foundation of what we just talked about, as the Lord has revolutionized our heart, then we come to this third part, really, of the gospel prayer, right? The gospel prayer, the section that says this, and we'll get there in just a moment, that says, God, as you have been to me, so will I be to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Let's just look quickly here and see what it says in the Word of God. Here's what it says. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, in their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, that they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation. I'd love to put this word over Southern Baptist and any kind of church for that matter. We start talking about generosity and giving. Everybody goes, Is that what the preacher's going to talk about? Here we go. Money. All right? This was scheduled long ago. Months ago, we had this preaching schedule. But this is what it says here. They were entreating Paul for the favor of participation. That's a good word. In the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they gave of themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So it's not just their money, they gave it themselves. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake, for my sake, he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. We want to talk about extravagant generosity. We have to start with Jesus. For Jesus gave of his great riches, and the Bible says in Philippians, he denied those rights. He denied those privileges. He became as a humble servant. Why? So that those of us who were impoverished, that's me and you, here in the United States, that's Non in Honduras, that's our people group, the Sangal Sakada, that's the unreached in Peddle, Mississippi, those who are impoverished without the gospel. So that we might become what? Rich. God, though, has it all. He says, I want to not take it all. When he came to earth, he said, I will deny that so that you might become rich. Rich in what? In money? No. Rich in what? Grace. Rich in grace. Here's a great question for us to think about this morning. I want to think about this question and then want to come back to that gospel prayer. Here it is. What if Jesus' generosity towards us was given in the same proportion that you and I give to him and to others? Let that statement just roll around your mind for a moment. What if Jesus' generosity towards us was given in the same proportion back to us in the way that we give it to him and to others? How much would we get? The gospel prayer says this. What does it say? In Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, and nothing I've done that makes you love me less. Your approval and your presence and approval are all I need for everlasting joy. That's the first two sentences we've been looking at the last 4 weeks together. Now we dive into this statement, as you have been to me, so I will be to others. It's a challenging word for us, because by nature, whether we admit it or not, we are selfish people. We are. We like to think that we're not, but we are by nature, and our culture really helps make us that way. They make our children that way through what they see on TV, so that the statement, how do we know that? Good night. Just go to the checkout Walmart line. Sharon, I'd love to ask Sharon, she works at the Walmart, the checker outer people, I'm convinced, not the people that designed those little things by the checker outer people, right? They do not have children. They can't. Or if they did, they murdered them and killed them because over what's, y'all ever in that Walmart line? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Parents, right? I want, I need, I gotta have, right? And they put the right things there, and you know what, have you ever noticed? I know it's all psychological. They put it at the level of a child in a buggy's eyes. Don't they? Right? And all of a sudden, the peace of Walmart is interrupted by this, wah! What is it? You know, everybody goes, well, they didn't get what they wanted at the checkout line. We all know it. We're by nature, I want what is mine. I want what I don't have. I want, I need, I must have. And that's our culture. And so it's so counterintuitive to us as believers in Christ, really, to be generous. But yet what our DNA should say, because of we have all we need in God's approval and God's presence, we have all the affection we need, God has given us everything we need for everlasting joy, then our natural response as a believer should be that we are generous in lots of different ways. The generosity of God, a statement was said, towards us should produce a spirit of generosity towards others. Those who are in touch with God's grace become dispensers of God's grace themselves. Let me ask you a question. Are you and I dispensers of God's grace? Or sometimes are we like that awesome automated paper towel machine that you slide your hand under and it just looks at you and goes, ha, 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 ha. Go grab some toilet paper. Big guy, you ain't gonna get your hands dry. Some of us, we operate that way spiritually speaking. There are people who are waving their life in front of our lives, and we ignore them. We miss them. We don't pay attention to them. We write it off. We rationalize it away. If Folks, our world is screaming. And some of them don't even know that they're screaming. And can I just give you a fresh word? Let me encourage you, church family. Some of you are going, oh, this is going to be a hard message. Folks, we are doing some of these things. Now, God wants to continue to stretch us and grow us because we're never going to get there. But folks, we're doing it. Folks, I'm walking down a school hallway handing out 67 food backpacks every single Friday because of you. I represent you every Friday, and I get to see that child's eyes light up. I went into one classroom. We put 8 bags in one classroom Friday. 8. And they came around like bees around honey to get that back, that put that in their backpack. I see kids walk down the school hallways and do this and never say a word. They'll say, hey. You know what that means? Check out my new shoes. I still got them on, preacher. Right, I went into one class. I went to Bella's class, Chris and Laurie, and she was doing great, by the way. She was behaving. And as always, of course, she's quiet. And I got in the room, and there's one little boy, man, every time I'm there, up like a rocket. Before I walked out of that room, I just want you to know, I got your hug from this classroom. I got mobbed. I only took bags of 2 kids. But these kids know who I am. They think, funnily enough, they think I work at the school. It's kind of funny. They see me out from school and they kind of get this look like you're the principal, and I'm not. I'm representing you. Why? Because you're generous. You're generous. Shoeboxes 300 will be nothing for us, I don't think, at Petal First Baptist. To pack Stop Hunger Now kits will be no problem. For us to meet our Lottie Moon goal this year will be no problem. We met our Margaret Lackey. It took a little bit of encouraging, but we finally met it. Praise the Lord. You're generous. What are we generous with? Just a few things quickly. Number one, we are called to be generous with our lives. We're called to be generous with our lives. What does that mean? Well, that's a great question. We're going, well, I'm generous with my life. What do you mean by that, Brad? Well, sometimes we think we're generous when we're really not. I'll give you an example. We wanted to be generous. We hosted our 311 night. We invited people to come to get the stuff. And very few people came and got the stuff. Now, what we realized, okay, we just could have said, well, golly, they're not going to come give it. We're not going to give it to them. No, what do we do, First Baptist? Some of you said, you know what? We're going to go the next step. We're going to be generous with our lives. We're going to go to their place, to their house, on their turf, and give them the stuff and share the gospel with them. That's being generous with your life. Because we're all busy, we all have lots to do, everyone in this room is busy. Nobody would say, well, I'm not busy. We're all busier than the person next to us, we think. But you're generous with your life. What does 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 say? I love this verse. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart not only the gospel of God to you, but watch this, but also our own lives. What do you mean? It's easy to pop a backpack inside of a kid's backpack. There's little contact there. And that's not that it's not a significant thing, because it is. But I believe is why we hosted 311 night and why we're going to go and do more in the days and months and weeks to come. Why? Because we want to not just give them the gospel, we want to share our lives with them. Another thing that makes me smile, I go up there and I look on the Big Brother, Big Sister book, and man, our church folks are just tearing it up. We got big brothers and big sisters all throughout that school. Now, let me challenge you. Some of you men, they desperately need more men. My little brother he has another little brother in the school. He needs a big brother. There are other boys in that school who need to see a godly man, a man's man, come in there and love on them. My little brother, I lie not to you, I got him the first day. You never know how it's going to all go, right? Okay, so I go in there, we kind of cut up. He's missing 2 teeth, and he has a speech issue. Okay, so you just imagine me. I don't hear well. I don't read lips. And we are having some awesome conversations of me saying, huh? What'd you say? It's so cute. So we come out of the classroom the first day. No lie. He's in the first grade. Retained, I think, maybe. So he's in the second grade. So he's 8 or 9. He grabs my hand and says, do you mind if I hold your hand? I'm like, you can't hold my hand. Don't hold my hand. No, I'm kidding. That's not what I said. I'm like, of course. We walked in that hallway, and all these little kids are looking, going like, ooh, that's cool. I wish I had that. You can make a difference. Generous with your life. Folks, it's easy to just pop some money somewhere, but here's the challenge for us, church family, is to be generous with your life. Secondly, be generous not only with your life, but with your love. Be generous with your love. To pour out your love on other people. Not only our generosity towards the Lord, that's certainly the case. We pour out our lives to Him. These are all the case. We pour out our love to Him. But in regards to other people, are we pouring out our love to Him and to others? And why are we to do that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. We're going through this wonderful book on Wednesday nights. It's going to take me 6 years to get through it. So come on anytime. You can jump on board. Powerful words of Scripture. Listen to what it says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God has loved us, therefore our call, our natural response should be, God, You have loved me, therefore I know I need to love others. The question is, do we do that? Listen, I know it takes time, it takes energy, it takes sacrifice, it takes effort. It doesn't come naturally for us. I look at my own little neighbor we live in. There's, I don't know how many houses are in Pecan Lakes. Gary, how many are in Pecan Lakes now? Gary, where are you? 120-some? I don't know. 120 maybe? Is that about right? That sound good, ministerially speaking? 130, I don't know. You walk in the neighborhood. I told Rebecca that day we walk in. Man, you think that nobody lives there sometimes. There's nobody in the neighborhood. We walked in yesterday and we saw like two people. So it takes time. We're going to take effort and investment to love our neighbors, to love our friends, to love those who don't know Christ at the gospel. Be generous with your lives. Be generous with your love. Thirdly, notice this. Be generous. Be generous with grace. Be generous with grace. We think back to the guy Jonah, right? Jonah gets swallowed by a fish. Jonah chapter 2 tells us, or chapter 4, he gets swallowed up by the fish, right? And then God, and Jonah gets ticked off because he doesn't want the Ninevites to be saved. He, just to be flat out honest. Now some of us, let's make it really real, all right? Let's make it really real for a minute. Some of you in this room, you struggle, and I do too from time to time, because we kind of wander between patriotism and Christianity, okay? So our patriotic side says, let's blow up ISIS, let's kill them all. Right? Salute. God bless America, right? Okay? But there's the Christian side of us that says, yeah, but I want them to know Jesus because they're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. Now follow me now. That's no different than Jonah. Uh-oh, I just got personal with some of you. I know. Look, I don't like ISIS either. And look, they're killing Christians. And it's wrong. And there's going to be prices to pay. There is God's justice. But here's the thing. Let's just bring it down to home. What about someone in your own life? You want to give grace to them, especially when you don't think they deserve your grace? And when we think that way, by the way, we think that we are more deserving of grace than they are. The disciples were like this. How people would come up and pester Jesus, especially children. Boy, they just were like, get out of here. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And what does Jesus do? He says, bring the children to me. Grace. Are you a grace dispenser? Do you give generously with your grace to others? Notice this other. We're generous with our forgiveness. Some of us will go, I'm good with the love part. I'm good with the life part. I can kind of do that. And I hope I'm pouring out grace. But now you could have stopped right there, preacher. Generous with my forgiveness? Because we think to ourselves, we've not really ever done anybody that wrong or that bad. Not that really hurt anybody that bad. But I want to tell you something. I've learned, if there's one I've learned, I'm learning the others, and I'm still learning this from time to time too. Being generous with our forgiveness. Here's what we know to be the truth. If you choose not to be generous with your forgiveness, then you are putting yourself in prison. And we make ourselves like the enemy. Is it easy to forgive? Many times the answer is no. And some of you, you think about who you have to forgive. And I think in my own life, who I've had to forgive. And it's not easy. Because we look at them and think, they are not forgivable. What they did was so wrong, so horrible, so terrible, that they are not worthy of forgiveness. Their act is so heinous that they should not be forgiven. And yet when we stop and pause for just a moment and think, do you deserve to be forgiven either? Do we deserve God's forgiveness? You know the story, the parable in the New Testament Jesus tells, right? Where the guy owes the king like billions of dollars, right? That's the approximation. And the king begs the king, "King, please don't do this. Don't throw me in jail. I'll pay it back to you." And the king forgives him. And he goes and finds some other little guy that owed him like $1 or $2. And he throws that guy and his family in jail. Boy, Jesus has some strong words for the person who does that. You know what those words are? If we can't forgive and love the way God does, then watch this now, listen to me carefully, then you really don't know God. That's as plain as black and white as we can say it, isn't it? Generous with your forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other." Why? "Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever, circle that word in your Bible, has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." The next one, generous with our compassion and our mercy. Generous with our compassion and with our mercy. Are we compassionate for people? Are we merciful? Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you that when you hear statistics in our city of 29,000 people, and maybe on a good high estimate Easter Sunday crowd, there's 5,000 or 6,000 people in church that day? Does that burden you? Does it burden you when you drive through the streets of Petal? Does it burden you when you drive through your neighborhood? Does it burden you when you walk through Walmart? Does it burden you when you go to visit your child's school and you see children who do not live in any kind of home that is telling them anything about Jesus? The only word they ever hear, God, is followed by a curse word. Does that bring about your compassion? Remember the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, he says this statement. I'm going to summarize these verses here in Romans chapter 9. He says, "I would wish that I would give my own salvation away if I could win my fellow countrymen to the Lord." Folks, God has to work that in us, because that's not a natural response for us. But that God will work in us such a burden, such a compassion, such a mercy for those who don't know Christ. Notice the next ones quickly. Generous in sharing Christ with others. Generous. Are you generous with the gospel? Or are you stingy? Here's always the great question. It's a convicting question to me. It's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks at least, maybe longer. And I get to cheat sometimes, because as the pastor, I get to encounter people a little more often sometimes than you do in some ways to share the gospel of Christ. When's the last time you've opened your mouth and shared the gospel of Jesus and told them about God's extravagant forgiveness and generosity in your life, about God's extravagant love towards you that you didn't deserve it, but God just blew you away by what he had done for you? See, that's a gospel revolution. We fall so in love with Jesus and abide in him that we're so amazed at his accepting of us and his approval. We pour out affection to him. We turn this corner here and we say, "I want to be generous like Jesus." The last three, generous with our gifts. Some of you have some incredible gifts. I don't mean like financial gifts. I'm talking about talents would be another word you could use here. Abilities. Some of you have abilities that are just remarkable. Business abilities, artistic abilities. Talents that are able to sing or play an instrument. Some of you have the talent to love children in a deep and a passionate way, to teach, whatever the case may be. All of us have those kinds of gifts. The question is this: are you generous with them? So here's the question. Here's the evaluative question to ask yourself, all right? Again, let's come back to the first question. If Jesus is, if generosity of Christ is aimed towards you, okay, in proportion that you aimed it at him and others, how much would you get? So let's ask the question, how much are you pouring out your generosity? Are you using the gifts and abilities that God gave you? And many of you are. But maybe there's some of you in the room that you're not using those for an eternal purpose. Again, we try to find all the kinds of reasons and excuses of why we can't. And God says, you got it. You're missing it. What? Because it gives me all the joy that I need. The greatest joy is in serving and loving others. I love when God gives me opportunity to be generous towards other people. Because you know who walks away more blessed? Who? The person you give it to? Whatever it may be, your time, your talents, your energies, your love, your grace. Who walks away more blessed? You or them? Who? Tell me. This is audience participation. Make sure you're awake. You do, right? And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And I'm thinking, no, thank you. I don't skip much. It's not typically the most manly thing, but it makes me want to skip and hop and jump and maybe even rhythmically move a little, you know, dance. Why? Because God's wired inside of us joy when we are generous. Because we're made in the image of God, right? And if God's image is put inside of us and we have found the gospel, we ought not be able to help. What happens? God fills us up to such a point, we become that river of living water that flows out of us. And it's not something we have to work up and go out of this building and go, all right, okay, I got to be generous this week, Lord. Help me be generous. Now listen, don't miss this. Don't miss the first 4 weeks. Because if you go out of this building and all you get out is, I got to be generous, generous, generous. If you don't get the first 4 weeks, which is abide, be accepted in God's love, be approved, be amazed at God, out of that then flows your generosity. Okay, so here's our problem in our churches in America today. I finally am getting it. Maybe I'm just slow. The problem is, it's not a generosity problem, it's a Jesus problem. Are y'all with me? This is truth. I'm not abiding. I'm not amazed at God any longer. I'm not going, wow, God's accepted me. God approves me. How could God love me? We're even more like that publican by the Pharisee. The Pharisee says, oh God, thank you that you have the privilege of loving me. We would never say that, but sometimes we live like that. Instead of the publican beating on his chest and saying, oh God, why would you love an unworthy sinner like me? There's a difference. Generous with our gifts. Generous with our time. This is a kicker right here, buddy. And listen, I know it. I know it to be true. We use the word time. More people are willing to part with money in their pocketbook than they are their time. Time is valuable. We seem more busy than ever. We seem more stretched than ever. We seem to have more priorities and things ever in our lives. But the question is, are we generous with our time in a gospel sense? Are we generous? Sometimes you have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice even things that you really like and even want to do really bad. I've eaten lunch with my little brother. I haven't eaten lunch with my own two boys. Time is not allowed, but I've eaten because I made a commitment to this little boy who doesn't have a dad in his home. My boys can eat separate with me almost every single night of the week, but this little boy, to sit by him at the lunch table, he almost becomes like Superman. And by the way, you need to stroke your ego, go be a little big brother, and go sit in a primary school, and you're like taller than everybody else, which I like that, by the way, since I'm short. And they're like, oh, wow, who gets to eat lunch with that guy? Right? Why? Because I'm giving of my time. Are you generous with your time? Lastly, are you generous with your resources? I want you to notice I put this last. I was almost tempted to put it first because all of you are thinking in your mind, okay, when is he going to get to the money part at the end? I want you to know, I turned a corner in my life years and years ago about worried about people being offended or upset or talking about money. Really, I hope I turn the corner about any subject in particular. If God puts it on my heart, then I want to share it with you. And if it ticks you off, then that'll be between you and God and not me. I want to do my best to communicate God's word clearly. Being generous with your resources. God has blessed many of you with resources. The question is, are we generous with those? And again, many of you are. And if you're being generous with your resources, this is not about you. This is not talking to you. If you're not being generous with your resources, this is to talk about you. This is a word of encouragement, right? Some great scriptures here. Our time has just completely left us. But are you generous with your resources? Well, you preachers don't know. I've got all these financial commitments, and I got this, and I got that, and my encouragement to you is this. Then get out of some of those financial commitments. Put off buying that new car. Put off buying that new television. Put off buying this or that, and say, you know what? Listen to me. I'm serious. I want to give that shoebox more than I want to have that. Our kids, we try to work with them and help them understand that Santa Claus is not eternal and has it all. right? Which a lot of us think that Santa Claus has unlimited resources. He does not. I think he has to pay taxes somewhere, so he struggles sometimes. Especially in the last, anyway. All right, so I almost got off on that, but I stopped. So we can't give it all. Anyone want to understand? This Q-Box is a big part of our Christmas. In our house, Lottie Moon is a huge deal in our house. Lottie Moon's a huge deal. I made a commitment, Rebecca and I made a commitment long ago to never, ever, ever give more to anybody else. Even, honestly, I'm just going to be really vulnerable with you. We made a commitment to give more to Lottie Moon than we give to all the other Christmas things combined. Children, parents, grandparents, whatever the case may be. Why? Because I want to be generous with the resources God has blessed me with. He blessed them with me, to me, for a reason. And it wasn't to hold on to them. It was to give them away. Now hear me. My children do not suffer. Trust me. They have more than they could possibly need. And I fight the same battle as you do. I don't have anything to do. Well, let's go clean out your closet. We can solve that problem. You really think you have nothing to do? I can show you what nothing to do is like, right? That's why we go do Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. We go do it together. That's why we're going to do Stop Hunger Now together on a Saturday in November and spend 2 hours together packing food. Because I really want them to get it. Because my mom and dad used to say this to me all the time. Well, there are starving children in Africa. You need to finish your supper. I don't want to finish my supper. We didn't understand the word starving. We didn't have commercials when I was kids that we have now on TV that shows us starving kids all over the world. It's terrible. But on a Saturday, November, when I heard about this last spring, I said, count Petal First Baptist in. I spoke for you as I typically can do. I said, because I believe I have moms and dads who want to use this as an opportunity to teach their children. There are literally people that are starving. And when they walk out that door of giving a shoebox to a child who will get nothing, he's never gotten a gift before in their entire life, or they walk out the door knowing they literally packed a meal that could have saved a child's life. That, my friends, is significant. And all that stuff they're going to get at Christmas, you know what's going to happen about 3 months after that? If even that long, tell me, church, what's going to happen? They're going to what? Forget about it. They won't have touched it for a month. And they won't remember what Santa Claus gave them. There's nothing wrong with that. They won't remember what Santa Claus gave them 10, 15 years from now. But I pray to God they remember when Nan comes up and speaks at their church, they'll remember Operation Christmas Child. And when somebody comes and talks about Lottie Moon, my daddy went to Lottie Moon. He knows about Lottie Moon. When I stopped out feeding people, I fed people on a Saturday morning. I packed a meal so people wouldn't starve to death. In the middle of all the other things we do in football and baseball and basketball and school and all the other things we do. Because we do all those things too. But I want them to know what's going to last. Are you with me? Choir, are you with me? I need a choir today. Generous. Are you generous? May we be a people. Because of the generosity of God, we can't help but be generous with our love, with our lives, with our grace, with our forgiveness, with our mercy and our compassion, with our sharing the gospel of Jesus, with our gifts, with our time, and with our resources. God, would you speak to us in these specific areas of our lives as we come to a time of invitation to give back to you, Father, our lives. God, would you speak to your people about their response to you this morning? And God, you have a specific response for each of us this morning. For some, it's to come find Christ as Savior and Lord. We need to accept your generosity into our lives. So God, I pray for those who need to make that very decision. You give them the courage and the strength to do that very thing. To accept that into their hearts and their lives. To admit they're a sinner. To ask you to forgive them of all their sins. To believe you're the Son of God. To confess you as their Savior. Commit their life to you as Lord. Say, Lord, I need your generosity in my life. I've never taken it. Lord, some have done that, but they've never made it public. I pray for the courage and the strength to make it public. I pray for others, Lord. Lord, you've been really specific with us this morning about our generosity. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to each person in this room about an area they need to be generous in. Their love, their lives, their grace, their forgiveness. God, some in this room, they need to forgive somebody and give generosity back to them in forgiveness. Others with their time, their resources. Maybe for others to share the gospel. So God, I pray as we sing this song this morning, Lord, as we pray, come and heal our land and breathe life into our sometimes dry and thirsty souls. To forgive us. And Lord, you would open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears to hear the gospel of Christ. Let me make this our declaration to you this morning. I pray for a freedom for people to respond this morning to you at this altar or at the front with me. God, to make public what you're doing in their heart privately. God, would you move among us? God, hear us from heaven this morning as we sing to you and respond to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's